fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Being mentally well and maintaining this is a vital part of staying happy and healthy. There are lots of different ways we can do this, and here to talk us through it is Jane Armstrong, a clinical nurse specialist from Royal Perth Hospital. Welcome back to the MAG.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're so lucky that we get to have you here so often.
I feel quite blessed myself.
Oh, stop.
Stop it.
Now, we are... Yeah, like I was saying this morning to the listeners, that this is such an important topic for us to talk about all year round. But especially because we know that one in six Australians currently experience depression or anxiety, or both,
yep.
at the same time.
Yep.
But 17% of these people, both experiencing it is about 17%. But why?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we probably need a whole other 3 hours to talk about that. I think apart from us becoming more and more aware, that's a huge factor.
So maybe like the numbers are getting higher, but this is possibly a good thing because, you know, we're actually talking about it and
Correct.
People are actually seeking
Correct.
Help.
Correct. And people are actually actively... blah, 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 actively seeking assistance.
Mm.
I'll throw some more stats at you, which are a little bit frightening for me. Indigenous Australians are at least twice as likely to die by suicide than non-Indigenous. 31.7% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders experience high to very high levels of psychological distress. What else have we got? Half of all lifelong mental health problems begin before the age of 14.
What?
Yep. Over 75% of mental health problems occur before the age of 25. One in seven young people aged 4 to 17 experience a mental health condition in any given year.
That's quite hard to comprehend. Like...
You look like your mind's just been blown.
Yeah, I think of like, you know, young people in primary school, you want them mm-hmm. running around, having fun. People shouldn't have to stress about that stuff. Like it's not, that shouldn't be part of growing up.
Correct. Suicide is responsible for one third of all deaths of young people aged 14 to 25.
Wow.
Consider your mind blown.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, we're more aware of it. I think we've got more people who are... seeking assistance. There's all the television programs, radio programs like this. People are perhaps more willing to talk with each other
mm.
about things. Also, the world looks so different than it did, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. There's a propensity for people to go back and go, well, you know, in my age, which was maybe even during the war, you know, the housewife's friend was Xanax. And, you know, people had very serious depression then, but it wasn't recognised.
It'd be interesting to have a look back on stats from then and see, percentages of death due to someone taking their own life compared to now. Or was it just not talked about at all?
It wasn't talked about. Because it was a big taboo. And even now, in certain cultures and in certain places, it's still a huge taboo. Huge. So I don't think we'd actually get accurate stats.
Mm. Well, it is good that we're talking about it now because, you know, we need to talk about the importance of noticing not only our own mental health but others' mental health as well. You know, looking out for your mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can we do that?
I think it's still about communication. It's still about checking in with each other. There's a great ad on television at the moment about a guy who's obviously not feeling too great, who his mates keep checking in on him.
With the barbecue?
The barbecue.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Because it's normalising the fact that young men can have rough times. And the thing is we all have rough times, and it's not necessarily depression. We can be feeling a bit low. And it's important to spot the difference. But even if someone is feeling low for a period of time, it's still important that people go and see their GP.
Well, let's talk about that difference between, you know, just having a bad day and feeling low and being, you know, like, this is a crappy day. And some people might thinking, like, I don't want to make anyone, you know, I'm not trying to put this out there, but, you know, some people are saying that depression is over-diagnosed because some people may just be having, you know, a bad day and it's being over-diagnosed. But how can we tell the difference between just having a crappy day and really struggling with this monster?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So really, we all have bad days. We all have our moods up and down. No one is always happy, although I do know some people who present as always happy. But really, people are not diagnosed with any type of condition unless it's been for a long period of time. So it's very easy for us to say, oh, you know, they've just been a bit low for a little while. But they don't know what's been going on inside that person's head.
Mm.
So really, we look at diagnosing people, well, I don't, doctors do, if someone's been presenting with a condition for, you know, a few months at least, and generally, you know, about 6 months.
Yeah. And what are, like, what are some of these signs that we should be looking out for?
For depression?
Yeah, let's do, like, a depression.
People perhaps not appearing as they would normally. People not enjoying activities that they would normally enjoy. And there's a term that we use called anhedonia, which is basically not enjoying stuff that we would normally enjoy.
Okay.
That's a really big one. You know, if someone's ordinarily been enjoying their sport and stuff, and that starts to peter off, then I would say, okay, mate, let's have a look at this a bit closer.
Yeah.
So for depression, that's mainly it. They may have increased appetite or decreased appetite, less sleep or more sleep. Sleep's a really big indicator too. If sleep becomes really, really poor or if they're sleeping a lot. So they're probably the main ones I would look at.
And one thing I wanted to talk about with you, I mean, you have a huge, you're also involved greatly within the homeless community. I think we need to talk about these mental health issues being the beginning of something, you know, like a spiral of disasters for a lot of people. It's something we need to talk about before it gets to that stage.
Absolutely. Well, I think when we look at homelessness, there's lots and lots of reasons for it, but there's a couple of big ones, and that is mental illness. You know, mental illness can be the main reason why someone actually loses their accommodation. You know, if they're not coping and they can't work, can't cope with other stuff like organising money to pay the rent, things like that, then it does spiral. And that's where I guess it comes down to services making sure that we've got people, you know, we're there to catch them when they fall.
Mm. Well, let's talk about some of those services. What's out there?
Okay, so first port of call is always your GP. Basically. But you've got emergency services like MERL, which is Mental Health Emergency Response Line, which are 24 hours. So if someone is feeling at risk, that's a really good number to call. You've also got things like Dial a Doctor, who are like roving GPs that can come out to the house. And then you've got all your community services. So Lifeline, Beyond Blue, Crisis Care, All those sorts of places that can offer support.
Now, one thing I have often thought about is if I've been extremely lucky and, you know, never had to face this situation in my life so far, but if you're if you see someone close to you who you think may be suffering from any, you know, something, they're just not right, mm-hmm. but you don't know how to approach them or you don't know what to do, what's some advice for people on how to deal with this?
Oh, that's a toughie, because sometimes we are too close.
Mm.
And sometimes you can talk to your blue in the face and people just won't listen. So sometimes it's maybe calling in the troops, having an intervention. but that's not far from the truth. You know, maybe it's about if there's people that you're surrounding someone and you're all going, hey, we're actually really worried about them, maybe sometimes that's the tack you can take. It's obviously it comes down to communication again, but it's trying to figure out which way would actually get the message across best. Sometimes if someone's in a real crisis, just call Merle, and they really can offer advice. And Lifeline, you know, Lifeline's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, well, that is. I guess we are so lucky that we have these communities out there to help us and whatnot, I guess.
Oh, no, look, I think it's really, really important to recognise the fact that the clinicians that work in the likes of Merle and the people that work for Lifeline and all the other NGOs like Avivo and Richmond Wellbeing and all that sort of stuff, these are people that genuinely want to help people.
I just had a thought. Is there anything we can do as people to deter? I mean, we know that some mental health can, you know, can run in the family.
Yes.
But is there...
So genetics.
Yeah, that's
the word.
I was like, what is that word? But, you know, so sometimes there's no getting around it. It's just going to happen to some of us. But are there particular activities or things that we can do to help try and keep it at bay?
Yeah, look, and I think I don't think anybody is immune from the potential from developing a mental illness. But I think it's also about what you do in your daily life. So, for example, what do you eat? What do you put into your body? You know, do you live on Maccas? Or do you try and make sure that you're getting a healthy diet? That's really important because we know how important gut health is. And I think I've talked about that before. I guess the other thing is exercise. Exercise is amazing because it increases the endorphins, which means that you get all the happy, healthy hormones that are running around the body. And once you've had a good exercise, it's really difficult to feel down.
Do you think that's why dogs are always so happy?
Absolutely. Dogs are just happy because, you know,
they
don't have to pay bills. Someone feeds them all the time.
They get to sleep all day,
Absolutely.
Run around.
Especially greyhounds. I think greyhounds sleep about 23 hours a day or something.
I've heard that they only need 15 minutes of exercise a day. They're the perfect apartment dog.
Oh, they're the perfect dog for anybody who doesn't want to go walking.
I wish I got a greyhound instead of a Great Dane.
Yeah, you're right. Small horses.
But yeah, no, so that's some really important keys to take away from that is, you know, there's things, even if you're feeling down, you know, get up, go for a walk.
And that's really difficult for some people because sometimes when you are depressed or when you are feeling low, there's no motivation. And really, it's you need sometimes someone to actually go to you and say, right, come on, we're going for a walk.
Yeah.
Or even to the extent of, you know, you setting an alarm, which is a reminder saying, get off your ass, you need to go for a walk. It's little ticks
Mine
like that.
Mine went at 5:30 this morning.
Yep. Cold. but it's things like that. And really, not that exercise can cure a low mood, but it can certainly go a long way to supporting you to feel better. And it's great for your health.
Exactly. It's a win-win situation.
Absolutely.
But let's give out some numbers if anybody out there does want to reach out and have a chat with someone or does want some more advice, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14. And Merle is...
I'm afraid I don't have that one on hand. I wish I'd thought about that.
That's okay. Merle, you can head on over to their website, which is www.m... You can get it off the healthywa.wa.gov.au website and just search Merle.
M-H-E-R-L.
Merle.
Merle.
Jane, thank you so much for being with us on Fitter Happier today.
Pleasure. And good luck for your radiothon.
Yes, radiothon starting Woo-hoo. Tomorrow. Be different.
Be different.
It's the theme.
There's no effort there.
What more could a gal want?
I know, right?
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
we will we will always have Jane Armstrong Yay. Back in the studio. And again, if anybody does want that Lifeline number to reach out for a chat, it's 13 11 14.